system.
We're here with our friendly neighborhood co-host, Chris O'Brien, who is now labeled as friendly in neighborhood, but he's not in my neighborhood unless my neighborhood is 120 miles away. A virtual neighborhood. Would you go for that?
Yeah, we've both been in the deep freeze this week, boy.
Yeah, it got down to the 30s in Arizona, where I am, which is the Phoenix area, which is rather unusual because normally here the temperature, even in the winter, can be 70 degrees. But now it's 44.
Right, you broke some records. We
right.
did too. I know the show's coming on, you know, about 5 days after we actually tape it. But last week was by far the coldest I've ever experienced below, you know, the Mogollon Rim. I mean, it was in single digits here on below Sedona. So much for global warming.
Well, you know, part of what global warming is, and by the way, our guest today, Stan Friedman, does not believe in global warming. He's co-author of a book called Science Was Wrong, where he disproves that. Maybe we'll mention it in passing, although we did that when we had Paul Kimball as the co-host, and we had an episode with him and Kathleen Martin on the show a few months back. But part of global warming is allegedly, I say allegedly, okay, is allegedly extreme climate changes.
Right.
Climate extremes. It's not just being warm or warmer. So there you go.
Yes, the superorganism we live on is a self-regulating entity.
Right. And if it gets sick and tired of us, well, it's going to say, bye-bye, humans. Someone else has to take over.
Or get in a bar fight with an asteroid.
Yeah, that could happen. Or, you know, right now we might be, if Stanton Friedman is right, just, you know, a place where they come over and have some entertainment.
There you go. I like that idea. There's a lot of entertaining people on this planet, and we strive to be entertainment, but we also strive, as I think you will agree, we strive to separate the signal from the noise.
Let's talk about noise, okay? Now,
yeah.
I don't know about this one, but I've made an effort to try to get to the bottom of it without much luck. There was a letter that was received by a number of people claiming that Butch Witkowski, who's a high muckety-muck in Pennsylvania's MUFON organization, that he has some serious legal problems. Now, Butch was a guest on the Paracast in January of 2010. And he seemed to have a pretty straight-up story, a lot of interesting information. But then we get this letter. And I'm going to just tell you a couple of the things that were charged. And the reason I am is because I asked, in the interest of being fair and balanced, I wrote to Butch, I tried to call him, and I said, would you answer any of this? And he says, no, he's taking his research private. He will not answer anything. Now,
uh-oh.
I don't know about you.
Oh, no.
Now, these charges supposedly emanate from the investigations of a private investigator who's involved in UFO research. Of course, that doesn't mean they're all correct, but, you know, I think someone with charges of this nature ought to be answering them. We're talking about charges such as that Butch Witkowski was a convicted felon involving issues of fraud, that he was never a police officer, he wasn't a homicide investigator, as he claimed, and that his experience in the military, in the Marines, was very brief and not, shall we say, terribly pleasant or, shall we say, honorable. So, you know, we have a lot of serious claims here, a lot of serious charges that I think have to be answered. Pretty
yeah.
serious charges here. I don't claim to be anything. As I said in the previous episode, I am a professor of ignorance. I don't claim to know anything. I'm just a talk show host. I'm curious about the paranormal. I've been around for a long time, and I hope I have some life experiences that may be of benefit to our listeners. I also am supremely skeptical, so I hope that asking the right questions will help provide illumination. So we have this problem. Butch Witkowski is being accused of being a fraud. Okay?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, no problem. If that is the issue, hey, you know, if I was accused of being a fraud, I would want to take the opportunity of answering the charges.
Yeah, I mean, at least put the rumors to rest, if that's what they are. I think a non-response is tantamount to agreeing or putting some sort of relevance to the claims. I hope that these rumors aren't true for Butch's sake. And if they aren't, I think he should very quickly put these rumors to rest.
Now, I gather the people at MUFON are kind of taking a hands-off approach here. They're not touching it. I tried to get an official comment from Clifford Clift, who is the international director, who will be on the Paracast in the very near future as a guest. Right. But it sounds to me that he doesn't want to touch this. And certainly, you know, if someone deceived them, the MUFON leadership, you know, I can understand that. You know, I can understand, you know, look, it's not his fault. We were all fooled. We had him on the Paracast. We thought he was a straight shooter, and he had a pretty good story. And as I said, the door is open. If Butch wants to come on the Paracast or just write me or talk to me, he has my phone number, and discuss the issues, discuss what these charges mean, and provide some information or evidence that they're false, we want to clear the air. I'm not about to say, you know, this guy is deceitful.
Yeah, well, the ball's in his court, so.
It really is. But I had to mention it because it's in our forums, therefore it's a public issue, therefore tens of thousands of people have seen the claims.
Yeah.
Where do you go? I hope this is not another Bill Nell incident. Remember Bill Nell? He's still active, by the way. We had Bill Nell, who lasted some 30 minutes on the Paracast with myself and David. We were on the show, and we asked him some very simple questions. And in 30 minutes,
he bailed. A classic episode.
Classic episode. In 30 minutes, Nell bailed. We had Frank Warren, who has been investigating him. And evidently, his crimes, I guess, aren't serious enough for the authorities, the federal authorities, to really go after him. Yeah. You know, they're looking into it, but, you know, I guess people who are involved in crazy fields like the paranormal, even if they pirate videos, even if they deceive people as to who they are and what they've done, it doesn't matter to them. So there you go.
The Rodney Dangerfield syndrome.
We get no respect, no respect at all. There you go. We have someone on the show this week who does get respect. Oh, I'll tell you. Gets a lot of respect. Probably, I call him an elder statesman of the UFO field, because he's been doing it for so long. Not that we always agree with what Stanton Friedman says, but, you know, he has a lot of interesting things to say, a lot of deep investigations. He's been there. He's still around. He started off as a scientist, a real scientist, a nuclear physicist. So he's not somebody who's unaware of science. He's worked on a lot of projects that, unfortunately, I guess, didn't come to fruition, such as stuff to improve energy. You know, we sure need that now, you know, especially with the price of gas going up to over $3 a gallon. They're talking of $3.50, $3.75 before long. So maybe Stanton Friedman, as the elder statesman in ufology, should go back as a nuclear physicist and see if he can do something about it.
Boy, we could use the help, that's for sure. I don't know if I could afford to keep filling my hog truck at $5 a gallon.
Get yourself a Hyundai.
There you go.
That's it. Sell it. Get yourself a Hyundai, a basic Hyundai, which is not very expensive. But we're not going to mention that for very much longer, except to say they also have a sister brand called Kia. You can get those cars for, what, $10,000, $15,000. They get 35, 40 miles a gallon. And we're going to have to do that, you know, because there is an energy crisis. We might disagree about global warming, but certainly there's an energy crisis. But the topic of this show, this episode, is not about the energy crisis, unless it relates to UFOs. It's about all the work that Stanton Friedman has done. My co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with the look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. IG.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Returning after a few months, we have Stanton T. Friedman. I call him one of the deans of UFO research. He's been doing it for so long. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And the last time we had you on, Stanton, is with Kathleen Martin. We were talking to you about this book called Science Was Wrong.
Yes.
Without going much into that, because we're covering largely UFOs in the session, do you think that the fact that we've had a pretty cold, nasty winter is more proof that global warming is a fantasy in your mind?
Well, you don't need that. When you review the evidence put forth by the warmists, whatever you want to call them, I can think of other terms, you say that it's the global warming thing is nonsense. Certainly in England, they've given a very hard time to the meteorological office, which has said on several occasions, worries about tough winters and lots of snow are a thing of the past. We don't need to worry about it. So ask the people who were stuck at Heathrow. They weren't planning for, because, you know, we don't get snow. Snow's a thing of the past. Yeah, the winter has certainly, and there are plenty of people around the country who have found it's already been a harsh winter. But we have to separate, and I keep trying to get people to do this. There are two different questions. One is, does the climate change? And yes, by definition, it changes. Now, no two winters are the same. No two summers are the same. And there are trends. We tend to forget that the Earth goes through natural cycles, 11-year cycles and 60-year cycles and El Nino. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things going on that vary from year to year. The second question is, if there is a warming period over a certain period of time, is it caused by man? And especially, is it caused by evil CO2? And that's the question that's easy to answer. You know, what all those other things we're sorting out now that we can make measurements of what goes on from above the atmosphere, what goes on with the sun, and we're finding that the so-called solar constant isn't constant at all, the output of the sun. The evil CO2 is where the nonsense comes in. And you'd never know it from listening to these guys, but CO2 isn't the biggest greenhouse gas. Water vapor is by a great deal. And then there's methane, and there's a bunch of others. Secondly, some people want to classify CO2 as a pollutant. Well, you better tell all the farmers of the world that you're going to take away what's necessary for plant growth if you take away CO2. So it's not a pollutant. As a matter of fact, if the level were to go a bit higher, and it has been higher in the past, without dire consequences, then, you know, you're goofing up. You're really fouling things up if you say, well, we just got to get rid of CO2. So we're taking credit for man being all powerful. If he would only cut back on evil CO2 emissions, everything would be great. And, you know, that's hogwash, plain and simple. And I've looked at a lot of the data. I read several books with the other point of view. And it's funny how the press has finally come around to recognizing, oh, there isn't a total agreement that, CO2 is evil and we need to stop it. And there's another part of this, and that's the political part, the financial part. To listen to some of these Al Goreists, Goreites, I don't know what the right term is.
Gories.
Glories, all right, I'll dig that.
The Western countries, the advanced nations, should have to spend hundreds of billions of dollars giving it to the poor nations because we produce so much CO2 and we are evil. And we should subsidize alternate forms of power production like solar and wind. And, you know, that's a lot of poppycock. For one thing, the only reason people built all these wind towers and solar places is because of subsidies. And Germany and England and other places have cut back on the subsidies, and they stopped building them because we're paying more for power produced that way. Somebody has to pay the bill.
But isn't there also an issue here where oil is not infinite? It's a finite source. We need other sources of energy, don't we? I mean,
that's a different question.
Sure.
That's a different question. And sure, and if you look around, you'll find that we're building many more nuclear power plants are in the process of being built. And at some point, we'll get to the point of using breeder reactors, which keeps the benefit of uranium way up there. There's no question that it would be nice to get rid of pollution. It would be nice to get rid of the bad things that come out of power plants. Nobody's denying that. The kicker is that we have enough. We're finding new, as a matter of fact, the whole question of natural gas has changed drastically in the last 3 years because of shale gas. And there's a real boom, and the price is coming down. We're talking economics here. And so that we should replace these with nuclear power plants, that we should use solar where it's appropriate, wind where it's appropriate. Of course, no question about that. And look, I live in California. Boy, there's an awful lot of sunshine out there.
Here in Arizona.
Yeah, it gets a little warm down there, 115 in the summer on a bad day?
What blows my mind is you fly into Phoenix, you look down, you don't see any solar panels. To me, it's ludicrous. It just doesn't make any sense. And
well, they're expensive. It's one of the reasons that
there's tax breaks. There's all sorts of incentives here to go with a greener sort of electrical situation. But one of the things that I wanted to point out before we get off this climate change conversation is a lot of people forget that when we have a massive volcanic eruption, the amount of gases and carbon and everything else that spewed into the air dwarfs the total output of the Industrial Revolution. I mean, when Pinatubo went and some of these larger ash volcanoes go, it dwarfs what humans have put out in the last 100 years.
Oh, you mean man doesn't control everything? Oh.
Right. So anyway, I think it's, the Gories are it's more of a form of a belief system in a religion, really, at this point. And I think it's a reaction to the oil companies' stranglehold on the industrialized nations. And there's a lot of, I think, societal and political elements that are involved in these conversations. But we are going to be talking about other things today, aren't we, Gene?
Oh, yes. We have Stanton Friedman here not to talk about global warming, although I wanted to mention it just because of the extreme nature of the weather and all that stuff, and certainly that was important. But
you guys get any snow down there?
We actually had some flurries in the Phoenix area.
Las Vegas.
And you know what happens in a place like this? You get even a couple of sprinkles of snow, everyone goes crazy. They're not used to it. So suddenly, unless they're coming from the east, from the snow belt states, whatever, if they live here and experience that, what happens? Very simple. The cars just go off the road. There are tremendous numbers of accidents. But let's not have an accident today. Let's just focus on UFOs and what's happening in the UFO field. Our guest, Stanton.
You mean we're not going to shock people so that they go off the road?
Well, we might anyway. We'll do that. We've done that on the PowerCast every so often in nearly 5 years, and we're not against doing that, but in the interest of information.
Yes.
Stan Friedman joins us. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of 2 Berkey Sport Bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Cyclass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BIGBERKEY waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterfilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is Alex Jones with 5 good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number 1, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number 2, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number 3, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number 4, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number 5, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
The timing is just perfect how we do that, Stanton. Basically, Chris and I work as two arms on the same being. With two heads, because
you mean
we keep fighting.
In the same room?
No.
No. No, we have been, though. We did a show with Antonio Junez down at Gene's, actually, one of my early shows. I think this is about my, 38th or 39th show with you, Gene. We're almost 40.
Yes. And, you know, we give you a gold watch if you get to 72.
Okay. See if I can survive the dean of ufology.
Well, you know, Stanton, I think, deserves more than a gold watch. You know, he deserves many gold watches. And now with gold being worth $1,400 an ounce, it's going to be expensive to buy that gold watch, Stan.
Hey, let me throw something at you about that.
Okay.
I was reading recently. I used to use as an example that the question about UFOs is not, are all UFOs alien spacecraft? The question is, are any? I say, after all, I used to say, gold is worth mining if there's a half ounce of gold per ton of ore. Well, that's in the old days. I was reading recently, you can get economically useful returns getting a gram of gold per ton of ore.
Wow.
And, you know, well, a gram is worth about 30, 40 bucks. So, you know, if you know what you're doing when you're moving the ore around and the chemicals that you use to extract the gold and so forth. But that's the point about, you know, if UFOs, what do I care if 80% of the sightings can be explained? So what? You know, you take the dross, I'll take the gold.
Yeah, exactly.
So are the UFOs here to get some gold?
Well, you know, that's not as dumb a question as you might have intended it to be.
I didn't expect it to be. Maybe half serious, but
that's what Sitchin's whole thing is predicated on, that whole motivation.
Well, Donald questioned motivation. Why did large numbers of Americans go west, young man, in 1849 and to California and to Alaska in 1898 and to Australia after that? It wasn't to have dinner with the Indians, to start a new Thanksgiving appreciation night or whatever. It was for gold, damn it. What I shock people by saying, you know, the Earth is the densest planet in the solar system. I don't mean the people, that's probably true too, but the Earth itself. A cubic foot of Earth weighs more than a cubic foot of any other planet. Saturn is so light, if you had a big enough cup of water, you could float Saturn on it. With a specific gravity, water is 1. Gold is 19. They say heavy as lead. Malarkey, lead's only 11.3. But we do have the impact of that is that we have more heavy metals here, and heavy metals are rare in the universe, relatively rare, because it takes a while for them to go through a supernova here and over there, supernova someplace else. You got to build up from hydrogen, and you get to the high atomic numbers, high density materials, and you got to be around for a while. So when you have things like rhenium, osmium, platinum, rhodium, tungsten, gold, uranium, these are all very heavy metals, and they're worth one heck of a lot of money to us, and they have certain special properties. Some of them are very high melting, very high strength materials, resistant to oxidation. So, you know, a cubic foot of gold it is worth an enormous amount of money. You know, you don't need something huge, is what I'm saying. It may very well be that they're also mining, that sounds much better. The asteroids, which are lots of iron and nickel. The bottoms of the oceans have lots of minerals, sometimes in very almost pure forms. We don't mine them. We should. Cobalt and a whole bunch of other metals down there. They're almost like nuggets. But, of course, we use the bottom of the ocean for hiding nuclear submarines, which have nuclear weapons on board and ready to respond if somebody sends one in the direction of the United States. There are diamonds, for example, off the coast of Africa that washed in through the rivers from the rivers, you know. There are plenty of reports. I don't know whether you've had Carl Feint on or not talking about unidentified submerged objects. There are plenty of reports of, I'll call them vehicles for want of a better word, zipping around under the water, and some of them coming out of the water and flying. Maybe they're scooping up the goodies from the bottom of the ocean. And, you know, I also shock people. I ask, you know what uranium was used for 100 years ago? No, Stan, what? We weren't making atomic bombs back then. No, it was used as a yellow glaze for table pottery. That's illegal now, incidentally.
Now, I'm going to ask you a fast question here. Now, in the popcorn thriller, Independence Day, the one thing about here is that basically it was about this race of creatures who basically brought their entire civilization with them, took over a planet to, of course, basically exploit their natural resources. The question being, of course, here is, so if we have this race or one or more races of creatures here from other worlds, are they going back and forth, or are they bringing their entire civivalization here to this galaxy, to this universe, to this solar system, to this planet, whatever?
Yeah, I'm talking about our local galactic neighborhood. Within 55 light years, there's a couple thousand stars. That's enough reach for me. I don't see any indication of that. I do see an indication of space carriers. The analogy I use is we have huge aircraft carriers, the Navy does, and several countries have them, not just the United States. These are nuclear-powered, mind you. They're, a quarter mile long, almost, something like that. They carry 75 little gasoline or kerosene-powered airplanes, which don't do well on the water, but do fine in the air, where the aircraft carrier doesn't move. But the interesting thing is, of course, that the nuclear-powered carrier can operate for 18 years without refueling. In other words, it's an entirely different propulsion system than is used by the airplanes that it carries. So if you look at the UFO scene, we know that there are, I'll call them motherships, that maybe that sounds more something or other than space carriers, but So it makes sense that between the stars you have the space carriers, which carry a whole bunch of little Earth excursion modules, as I like to call them. Nobody else calls them that, but I think of the lunar excursion module. You know, the business end of that 365-foot-tall Saturn V vehicle is a little old command module when you get down to it. And they work. It doesn't really have a propulsion system on it. We take advantage of Mother Nature. Once you take off, you know, you throw the rocket away once you take off from the moon. And you got to be smart. You got to get the direction right when you're coming back into the atmosphere. But you got two essentially different systems. So we have reports of people seeing little craft coming out of these huge monsters. I don't think we're dealing with them moving their civilizations here. It may be, you know, they've done something wrong. They're given duty, spend 2 weeks near Earth. That's punishment to last a lifetime, you know. Who knows? But I think there's a more important reason for them being here, if you will. I make only one assumption about every advanced civilization. It's concerned about its own survival and security. That seems to be a universal, everybody we know. That being the case, you have to keep tabs on the primitives in the neighborhood. But only close tabs on those primitives will show signs of being able to bother you. And if you go down through history for, say, the last 2,000 years, there aren't big differences in the technology. Yeah, okay, sailing ships, it took 3 years for a Magellan ship to go around the planet. And there's Jules Verne talking about 80 days. And now we have the spacecraft that go around in 90 minutes. But the point is that at the end of World War II, there were three obvious signs to any aliens who'd been watching how this planet changed after 1900. Remember, the first flight wasn't until 1903, all of 112 feet. Not exactly a high-powered airplane. We didn't know about DNA. We didn't know about the atom. The neutron wasn't even discovered until 1932. We were good at killing people, but we didn't know a lot about how the universe operated. But then comes World War II, where people threw a lot of money at advanced research and development, mainly in better ways to kill people.
I mean, don't kill our sponsors because they're waiting to have their say.
Okay.
We have Stanton Friedman, co-host is Chris O'Brien, I'm Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free. Sent right to your mailbox, plus a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at webtv.net. That's MrUFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics,
toys,
flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Stanton T. Friedman, and we're talking about why they might want to come here to see what we're doing. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So therefore, we start developing all this technology, particularly the German scientists, as we all know. And
well, they would have paid attention, but the big time, the big change came with the war and after the war. Remember, there wasn't any radar around before the World War II started. Americans seem to think World War II started on December 7th, 1941. Sorry, I live in Canada. The Europeans and Canadians were involved in 1939, at least.
Well, that's because we're very jingoistic here in the United States. We like to think that we are the beginning and end of civilization. Maybe the end right now.
Let's not talk about that part. But anyway, there were three signs at the end of the war that soon these idiot earthlings, and I say that and people raise an eyebrow or two, and I say, look, we killed 50 million of our own kind. We destroyed 1,700 cities. Is it unfair for me to say idiot earthlings? Anyway, there were three signs by the end of the war that soon these idiots would be able to move out. The first was atomic bombs. The amount of energy contained in a pound of uranium is vastly greater than, you know, in kerosene or whatever, or TNT or anything like that. Secondly, we have rockets, V-2 rockets that the Germans developed. They were on their way to a V-3, you know, the next stage up. And they weren't used to deliver mail from Germany to England, although people have proposed using rockets for that purpose, but they were used for killing, destruction. And the third thing was the beginning of the electronics revolution. Radar was the first big step, and we threw a lot of money at that. And it didn't take long after the war before we went into miniaturization and transistors and, you know, everything that followed after that, computers, all that stuff. Okay, isn't it amazing that the only place in the entire world in July 1947 where you could study all three of these technologies was southeastern New Mexico? First atomic bomb was at Trinity Site on the grounds of the White Sand Missile Range, which is where we were testing to capture German V2s. We got a whole boatload of them. And where we had our best radar to track those V2s, because sometimes they went the wrong way. Very embarrassing when a couple wound up in Mexico, you know. They were supposed to go north, not south. So what I'm saying is that I think the best word I'd use for reasons for alien coming here is to quarantine us. No civilization out there would want a society like ours, which can't get its act together, which this year will spend over $1 trillion on things military, and on every single day this year, 30,000 children will die needlessly of preventable disease and starvation. That's a weird planet, and nobody out there would want us out there. So I think there's another part of this, too. Every advanced civilization will know that there can be natural catastrophes, a supernova, for example, or a little old asteroid comes crashing down and beats the heck out of the planet. Call it nuclear winter without the nuclear, you know. The dinosaurs were here and were powerful and they're not here anymore. Quite possibly, probably, because an asteroid came and darkened the sky, and if nothing's growing for a year, the dinosaurs don't live very long. So what I'm getting at is you can think of dozens of reasons for graduate students to come here to do their thesis work on the development of a primitive society. There's a chapter in Flying Saucers and Science in which I list over 20 reasons for coming to planet Earth.
Well, let me ask you one question here.
Sure.
One serious question that is a specter in this room, which is, of course, abductions. Because there seem to be quite a few. If you listen to Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs, for example.
David Jacobs, yeah.
Sure. They're doing this right and left. Loads and loads of people are being abducted. Jacobs feels they're creating a hybrid race.
Yes.
So where does that theory of the graduate students coming to Earth, how does that fit in with abductions, especially extended, prolonged abductions with lots of people?
Well, I don't know about extended, prolonged abductions with lots of people, but I do know of cases like the Betty and Barney Hill case, which is discussed, in, of course, in the book Captured by Kathleen Martin and myself. I think the abductions fit very well within the notion of grad students. They've got a job to do. We send out guys, explorers, to the north, you know, and put a little, attach a little radio device to the polar bears. So would you believe it sends signals to a satellite, which sends signals back to some researcher off in a nice warm place? We're abducting animals and we catch and release. That's what we call it up here. The fishermen have a policy some places. And remember, we are a very, very diverse species on planet Earth.
Yeah, but the question I'd ask you here is, how many animals or how many humans does E.T. want to capture and release?
Well, I don't know. I have not talked to the commanders of that division, but I'll tell you something. When I was in high school a very long time ago, I cut up a frog. And everybody else in high school biology cut up a frog. And in other schools, other places, loads of frogs being cut up every year. How many do you need to cut up before you know something about a frog? It was a teaching experience. It wasn't a massacre. The frogs.
So we're frogs, just not being cut up. Or if we are being cut up, we're being reassembled.
Well, and remember, too, that now we can determine a great deal about DNA, for example. And if I had said that 60 years ago, you'd say, what are you talking about? Well, what's DNA? You know, it wasn't known, and we certainly didn't know how to analyze it. I mean, I'm in awe of the fact that you can take a cigarette somebody has smoked, take the butt, and get enough DNA from the saliva that was on the cigarette to identify that person. That's truly remarkable. And if I'd said that 60 years ago, you'd have said, this guy is certifiable. Lock him up someplace. He's nuts.
Well, now, of course, it's part of popular culture. We have CSI. We have the various.
Yeah,
we still have Law and Order series where they take the DNA and they know everything about people.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is aliens presumably know a lot more than we do. But what if they are looking for certain characteristics which they can input into maybe they're planning on setting up a colony someplace. They need certain characteristics. let's see, we need somebody who's smart, who can breathe this kind of air instead of this kind of atmosphere, et cetera, et cetera. Who knows what they're hybridizing for?
But you would think that hybridization is possible.
Sure, it's possible. Whether it should be done or not, you know, maybe, you know, it may well be that this is the devil's island of this corner of the galaxy. They dumped all the bad boys and girls here, and they're looking for that nasty gene. How come these idiots, you know, are so nasty to each other? You know, it's kind of funny. When you go to Australia, they take great pride in that many of the ancestors of the people who were there now were criminals. Well, they were, many of them were debtors, prison people, but they take pride in that. So the bad boys and girls were left there, and, you know, now they've got a civilization. Not many people, but big country. We don't know what all they're doing here. And absence of evidence is not evidence for absence. In other words, the fact that we don't know what the purpose is doesn't mean there is no purpose.
No, we understand that. We don't understand how, you know, certainly we don't understand how an alien might react because we're dealing with a totally different species. We don't know really what their mindsets might be, what their sets of morals, their morality might be.
I mean, one of the reasons, you know, when you're talking about their morality, one of the reasons we've heard a lot about Robert Hastings and all the nukes and UFOs, you know, what people forget is that if we foul up the planet, they may not be able to steal the goodies anymore. So we'd be missing their hunting territory, if you will, their prospecting land. So they have may have an enlightened self-interest. And, you know, there may be many companies, just as we're setting up new species of tomatoes and potatoes and genetically modified stuff, increasing the yields, how beautiful the fruit or vegetable is, all this kind of stuff. Genetic modification is one way of doing that. Again, if I had said that years ago, oh, you mean taking sperm from a big bull and then setting up a whole herd of prize cattle? Well, it can be a lot more complicated than that. And we've been doing that for quite a while. So we don't know what all is going on or what's behind it. And we certainly don't know what our government knows. We do know that no government on this planet wants to give up power. I think you'd agree with that, wouldn't you guys?
That's a good point where we can say that we have Santee Friedman on the show. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.